Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Chavav. We're starting a brand new perek on Chof Hey Amid Beis, where the Mishnah begins in Bnei Yair Shemachru Rechoyvish Al Ir. As you recall, last week or last few days, we've been talking about the various tfilois as well as the various kriois and targum inside the shuls. Now we talk about the shul itself. We're talking now, until now we spoke about the software, and now we're talking about the hardware. It's been a ir shemachru rechoy v'shalir. What happens if the city trustees, we'll see in Yat Hashem on the Amud Aleph towards the bottom, that there's a concept of shiva tuve yo'ir, b'mamud anshe yo'ir. The people that are in charge, that have the right and the authority to make sales and things of that nature. Our Mishnah doesn't talk about the Shiva Tuvair, it only talks about Bnei Ho'ir. And that will make a fundamental difference, as we'll see in the Gemara. So the people of the town, of the city, decided to go and sell a Rechoy V'Shalir, one of the streets in the city. Now, as we'll see shortly, that street, although it's normally used for people to walk back and forth, it does have a certain Kedusha. Why does it have a certain Kedusha? Because back in Masechtas Tanis we learned that if Chas Hashanim it didn't rain, and they were Goizetanis three times, and it still didn't rain, and then they were Goizetanis another three times, and it still didn't rain, that after that they start a process of seven Tanesim, and those seven Tanesim they go out L'Rechoy V'Shalir, and they say Rabbi V'Shalolam, we have to be Mevaza ourselves, because we've prayed and we fasted and we fasted and we prayed, and it still hasn't rained. In fact, they even take out the Arn HaKodesh, they put Efer Makla on top of the Arn Kodesh, on top of the Nasi, on top of the Avezdin. Each person puts Efer on top of his own heads, all to show Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're suffering, please go and have Rachmanis. So because that Rechoy V'Shalir was used on occasion for public tefillos, it gets a form of Kedusha according to our Tana, and you cannot just go and sell it willy-nilly and take the money and use it for anything, but rather when you sell it, loikim b'dam of Beis HaKnesses, what you can do is use those funds to go and build a new shul. What happens if you sell a shul of Beis HaKnesses? Then you can take the money, loikim teva, you can go and buy an Arn HaKodesh. If you sell an Arn HaKodesh at teva, loikim mitpachas, then you can go and buy a mitpachas. Mitpachas is the mantle that you put on a Sefer Torah. What's a mantle? What's a mantle? The cover for the Sefer Torah. What happens if you sell one of those mitpachas? Yikhu, you can go and buy svarim. Svarim meaning tanach, neviim and ksuvim. What happens if you're selling Svarim, Nevi'im, Ksuvim? Loichen Torah, you can go and buy a Sefer Torah. And as Rashi points out, the reason for all of these rules is because of Malin Bakoidish. We start from the Rechoiv, we go up to the Shul, or Nakoidish, mental of a Sefer Torah, Nach, and finally the Sefer Torah.
Wasn't the Sefer Torah before the Nach?
Which one do you think is more holy, Sefer Torah or Nach?
Oh, I see. Sefer Torah.
So if you're selling the Nach, you can use the funds to buy a Sefer Torah.
Is this a din only in Eretz Yisrael as far as the basic Knesset and Rehov?
We'll see Mitzvah and Gemara. They want to give a whole bunch of examples in Bavel. So they have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. And continuing the Mishnah, Aval! Now let's go the other way around. Malan Bakoidish, the Ein Moirin. So Aval Imachru Torah, if they sold the Sefer Torah, Lo Yichu Svarim, they're now going to go and buy a Nach, because that's considered to be a Yerida in the Kedusha. If they sold Svarim, Le'yichu Mitpachas, you can go and buy Mitpachas. If you sold Mitpachas, Le'yichu Teva, don't buy an Arna Kodesh. Teva, you sold an Arna Kodesh, Le'yichu Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, Le'yichu Esar Rechoiv. L'choira, the second half of the Mishnah would seem to be obvious, because it's Malam HaKodesh, Ve'in Meirin. You can only go up, you cannot go down. But now we have at the very end of the Mishnah, V'chein ben Moiser Rehen. The same thing applies with their Moiser, with the extra funds. What means with the extra funds? For instance, it says in the Mishnah, you went and you sold the shul, and now you take the funds, you can buy with it an Arna Kodesh. Now what happens if the Arna Kodesh is cheaper than a shul? A shul costs you $1,000, and Arna Kodesh only costs you $750. What do you do with the remaining $250? So I would think, okay, well, you can now splurge it, use it with it. No, says the Mishnah, you got to go and use that as well for Malam HaKodesh, for another Arna Kodesh, or to go and buy a Sefer Torah, or for Mitpah. Tachas for Malin Bakaish.
And you can't buy at the same level? You can't sell one shul by another?
If you don't mind, hold the question for a moment. So now the question is, isn't that also obvious? Once we say that when you're selling any one of these items, that you can go and only buy a Malin Bakaidish, then of course if you have $25 or $50 or $100 left over, why should that not apply? The same halacha should apply. So we said today is the yard side of the Sfas Emes, and the Sfas Emes gives the following answer, a very simple answer, but it's a very profound answer. He says, what happens, for instance, you're selling, we talked about selling a basic Knesset, and you're buying a Teva. When you originally constructed that basic Knesset, and you bought it, and you paid for it, and blah, 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 that was 25 years ago, and at that time, it cost you $500. Now, 25 years later, you sold it, and instead of 500, you now have $1,000. Oh, that's a very nice profit because of the inflation. And now that $1,000 you used to go and buy a teva, to go and buy an Arna Kodesh. The Arna Kodesh only cost you $750. I got $250 left. So, Kedai Techemina, those $250, those are not from the original funds that were used to go and buy the basic messes. All of those $500 plus another $250 were used for the Arna Kodesh. The other $250 is, you know, the inflation, the natural interest that grew on these, on the Karen. It's like payrois, and maybe the halacha should not apply that since this is not the original monies of the basic Knesset. Now it's the chiddush of the Mishnah, even Moisareyan also have the same din. You don't look at how much you originally bought the shul for, you look at how much you sold it for. All of that money is kadosh, and all of those funds have to be used for malin makodesh v'loy meri. That's the explanation, Hemersre. Now let's get to Barry's question. Barry asked, in our Mishnah we only go higher in Madrega. We start with a Rechoiv, and then we go to a Basic Knesset, and then to a Teva, and then to Mepachas. What happens if you want to use the funds from Rechoiv to Rechoiv, or Basic Knesset to Basic Knesset, or Teva to Teva? From the Reish of the Mishnah, you could bring a Diuk that it has to be Malin Bakodesh. If you're selling a shul, can't buy a shul, you got to go and buy now a Teva and on a Kodesh. However, from the Seif of the Mishnah, you can bring a contrary Raya. You just can't go down. Sounds like if you're going on the same level, that's okay. And like the Gemara will often say, you can't bring a conclusive raya either way, because from the reish it sounds in one direction, and the seif it sounds in another direction. And because of that, there's a machlokes among the rishonim, poskim, achronim, exactly what the halacha would be if you want to go and use the funds for the exact same thing. From the Gemara Mitzvah that we're going to learn, it's mashma on the Amud Beis, we'll get to in a Mitzvah Shem, that you can use the same funds for the same structure, for the same level of Kedusha. But once again, this is fertile ground for further research and due diligence, because there's a major machlokes among the Svarim, among the Rishonim, Poiskim, whether or not you can use it for on the same level.
However, but if you sold the synagogue and decided to buy a much more luxurious, splendorous synagogue, that could be considered Malin B'Kedushah.
Our Mishnah doesn't talk about different qualities, different sizes, different shapes. On the surface, it would sound like you can only use the funds for going and buying a Teven on a Kodesh, or Lamala B'Kodesh, to go and buy a Mentala, to go and buy a Sefer Torah, etc. That's what it would sound like. It doesn't sound like they make a distinction between old and new. However, Mir Tashem on Chavav on the base, hopefully you'll still be here with us at that time. Actually, Mar is going to talk about what happens. Can you dismantle an old shul and use the bricks and the mortar and all the rest for the new shul? Mir Tashem will see that shortly. Good. Jacques Digmar, David Fishman, you have a question. Yes. Our Mishnah doesn't... I know, I understand what you're asking. I believe there's going to be a later Mishnah that's going to deal with whether you can use the funds for pinyon and shuyim. But that doesn't... We don't address that today, but I believe that's going to be addressed in the future. Getting now to the Gemara. Zok Gemara. Bnei ir shemachru chayv shel ir. People that went and sold the Rechoiv, this the one of the streets in the city. Amr Rabba Bachana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zul Divri Ram Nachem Bar Yosi Stumasa. That Tana of our Mishnah is a special Das Yochid Ram Nachem Rabbi Yosi. But the majority opinion of the Chazal was Harachoyv Ein Boy Mishom Kedusha. It's true. Once an ayoyvul, you use the rechoyv in cases, chas v'sholom, a public tzara, such as it's a famine, there is no rain, people have to fast, people are coming out and crying, Rabbeinu Shlom, please have rachmanis. How often does that occur? Once in a while. But normally, every single day, the rechoyv is used just for walking back and forth. That being the case, in the chacham, there's no kedusha when you sell the street, you can take the funds and use it for anything. From Nachbar Yoisi, my time, what's the reason why he holds? No, it does have Kedusha. Because the people do go and are mispal, they go out on a Tanis, as we said in the Mishnah Mesechtes, Tanis, after the first six Tanis and then the following and final seven Tanis, they go out and they are davened out Berachoyv, and they take out Arda Kodesh, etc., etc. Therefore, since we do use the Rechoyv for Kedusha purposes, it does have Kedusha. Please give it to me. Thank you very much. It does have Kedusha. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Azei Zog Tigmar. Zog Tigmar. And the Rabbanan say, yeah, that happens, but it happens so rarely that really doesn't instill it with Kedusha. That's just, you know, once in a yoivel, once in a while. So therefore, bring no rice. There's one problem with the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Amispal Moed Betanios Ubim Amodais. Back in Masechtas Tanis, we never had a discussion about people of the Ma'amad davening in the streets. What we did have is that just like the Mishmores of Kehanim went up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Anshi Ma'amad, some of them also went up to the Beis HaMikdash to stand there in the Ezra Yisrael and to watch as the carbon is being brought. And some of the Anshi Ma'amad were miskansin in their local Bate Knesiyos, and they fasted there, and they learned the Torah from Ma'aseh Bereishis, had special tefillahs. All of that is great, but it doesn't say that they actually davened Virachoy. And therefore, this reference to Mamodis is somewhat peculiar. And this is not just my kasha, this is already Rashi's kasha. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi is starts two or three lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. Hoyeva on Mispalma, about 10-12 lines at the top. Hoyeva on Mispalma, Bitanis and Mamodis, Kitanam Mesechtes Taniyos, Avru Evavalinenu, the first six Tanaisim passed. Unfortunately, there's still no rain. Moitzinus a table of choyves shall ear, etc. Then it says vayta in the Gemara about umamad modos. What does it say about that in Masechtas Tanis? Tanan miskansin Bahrain, they got together in the cities. V'koyim b'mas and brachus. V'tanya b'Gemara anchi mamid nichnasim lebeis haknesses. They go to the shul. V'yoshvin arba taniyos b'shabbos, and they have their four tanesim Monday through Thursday. Now the question is, but it doesn't say anything about Rechoy B'Shalir. It says, Miskansin Ba'arayim, B'Koyim B'Mas B'Rashis, and Anshimam and Nechnosin Lebeis HaKnesses. So where does it say anything about the Rechoy B'Shalir? Says Rashi, Efsher Beis HaKnesses Hoyu Lehem Kavua B'Rechoy B'Shalir, U'Miskansin Shom Hamaymid Kuloi. Ah, so what Rashi is saying is, maybe you don't mean literally Berchoy B'Shalir. What we mean is that in addition to the regular, normal Beis HaKnesses that they had wherever inside the city, there was a special Beis HaKnesses for the Anshi Ma'amad Berchoy B'Shalir, where they would be Meskanis, where they would get together twice a year, 1 week in the first part of the year, 1 week in the second part of the year, just like the Mishmores that went up to Yerushalayim. Just like we learned about Bikurim, Kol Hayoris Shemaimed, Miskansin, La Hayoris Shemaimed, V'lonin Berchoy V'Shalir. So now Rashi brings in another thing. Where did all of those people that gathered together in the Maimed, where did they sleep? Some of them slept Berchoy V'Shalir. They slept in the Rechoy. That wouldn't seem to be enough of a reason to justify that it gets Kedusha. But Rashi is kind of painting the whole picture for us, that there was apparently a basic Knesset. Rashi says, Efsher. Basic Knesset was Berchoy V'Shalir, and then some of the guests would sleep in the city, in the street, outside the shul. V'loihoyu nechnasim lebatim, v'lon and sham. They didn't go into their houses and sleep there. And then in the morning, he would say, let's get up. That they got together in the Ayorais. The akroi hava shemamen azeh in choyze chalila ad chatzi shana. The mamen only gets together twice a year, 1 week in the beginning of the year and 1 week, and that's what the Gemara meant with the akroi. So Rashi himself says efsher, that's perhaps the pshat, the combination of people sleeping berachoy v'shalir and there being this temporary base kinesis which is used twice a year, that's maybe what the Mishnah is referring to when it says shemachar rachoy v'shalir, that base kinesis. But then Rashi says that afterwards ubetalmidei Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi matzasi ubemamadois loy garsina, take out the word mamadois, because after all it was really no mamadois in the Rechoyv itself, umafarish loy hoisit filos in Rechoyv, there was none in the Rechoyv. So that's the Rashi, therefore, says first pshat is with an efsher, and the second pshat is to take out the word mamadis. If you notice next to the word mamadis, there is an asterisk. That asterisk takes us down to the Gilyan Hashas. The Gilyan Hashas is here on the bottom of my Gemara on the left hand side. Rashi to Yisef to mamadis. Uba Mamadis Loy Garsinan, says the Gilyan Hashas, Bachidusha Ramban, in Mesechtus Bava Basu Duff Ayin Zayin, Dibra Maschil Ein Oisiois, Kosav, the Ashgirus, or really should be Shagrirus, whatever, Shagirus Lishnahu, Valav Dafka Mamadis. Shagirus to Lishna means that very often the Gemara or the Mishnah is going to quote a couple of words just because that's the way people speak. They were friends. Every time Dick and Harry was there at the protest, there were no Harrys. The only times they, you know, that's how you talk. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Shots of a cotton is usually the formula.
Yeah, but usually they talk. All three are in place.
Right.
But just in case a cotton is really inappropriate for that discussion, so then the answer would be it's a shkiris delishna, that since we usually say chay shayt for cotton, so even though cotton really has nothing to do with that discussion. Exactly.
Sugar befiv, is that the shiris?
Yeah, exactly. Sugar befiv. So therefore, although it says my mother is discounted, put in parentheses, we don't really mean my mother, we really mean the tanesim. So bottom line is what our Gemara is telling us is that even though it says in our Mishnah that there is a kedushin rechoy v'shalir, when you sell it, take the money and use it to go and buy a new shul or lemala bakodesh. Says the Rashi b'shem the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi and his Talmidim, and says the Gilyan Hashas b'shem the Rabban, that the only time that there's a kedusha is by the Tanaisim, not by the Mamadois, and that's only a das yochid, that's from Menachem Rabbi Yossi, but the Chum disagree and say that there's no kedusha at all. Right, the basic mass is loichem teva. You go and sell a shoe, you use the money, you can go and buy an arna kodesh. Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omar Bionis, Leishono, Ela Beiskanesu Shol Kfarim. Ela Beiskanesu Shol Krachen, Kivin Demi Alma, Osu Lei Lei Motze Mezamni Lei, Tahav Lei Deram. Says Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, that you could talk about selling shuls only if you're talking about a shul in a private town, in a small town, in Kfarim. But if you're talking about a shul in a big city, Kivin Demi Alma, Osu Lei, people come to that Beis HaKnesses from all over. It's not just the locals, the local members. Everybody and anybody, if you have a shul in Yerushalayim, are only the local Yerushalmis davening there? All the Americans and all the Europeans, anybody that's visiting and they are staying nearby, they'll daven in that shul. So it becomes a me'alma osule. And therefore, you cannot go and sell it to Havalei Deram, because now it belongs, it's like an acquisition or a possession of the rabbin, and you'd have to have the entire rabbin going and being maskim to the sale. And since some of the rabbin live in America, and some in Eretz Yisrael, and some in Europe, and some in South America, you can't possibly call all of them and say, do you mind if we go and sell the shul on the corner of Rehov Yirmiya number 38 or something like that? That's an impossibility, and therefore you cannot go and sell it. Top Toises gives two pshatim according to the second pshat in the Toises, is because when the shul was built or subsequently renovated or when they needed additions or what have you, those people of the rabbin that came from elsewhere, they contributed towards the shul. So it's not just that they happened to daven there, but since they contributed towards it, so they are also, if you will, quasi members. And you have to ask all the people that helped in the binyan of the shul, what do you think? Can we sell it? Can we not sell it? So that's what Rav Shmuel Nachmani says. If it's basic nesher shul karachim, you are stuck. You cannot go and sell it. Ravashi says there are exceptions to the rule. Hai Beknisha, the Masmachasi was considered to be a large city. Rav Ashi was the Rav there, in the Masa, in the town or the city of Machasya. He says, in our shul, Haidei Knishta, in our shul, Afikav Demi Alma Asula, even though tons of people come from all over to our shul, Kim Dadat Didika Asul, because they come because of me, Ibe Ina Mazvinala, if I wanted to, I can go and sell it on my own. What Rav Ashi is saying is that when the shul was built initially, it was built on my behalf. I went and moved to Masa Machasya. We didn't have a proper shul, and people said, oh, Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, the Gadol HaDor, remember Ravina Rav Ashi were the ones that codified the Gemara. Gizum Tait.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So he wasn't just any Amoira, even though all the Amoiraim, of course, are great and holy, but Rav Ashi in particular was the Gadol HaDor, and he says that the reason why they built this basic Knesset, Masa Machasya, was for me and for my Talmidim, Talmidim to go and learn here in this shul, Talmidim to go and visit to ask Shailas. It was really built for my purpose. I'm glad that everybody decided to visit and to daven. That's all wonderful, but it's really for me. And therefore, if I wanted to sell it, I don't even have to ask anybody's rishus. I can sell it on my own. And this, by the way, this is brought to halacha, that for instance, if you have, I'm sorry?
For shtibles.
Shtibles, but shtibles has the quality that it remains a shtibble, that it's small. Even if you're talking about a major shul that was constructed by a major person. Let's just give an example. The Satmar Rebbe Zatzal, if and when he bought, he built a beautiful large shul in Wilhelmsburg. If after that he decided, let's go and sell the shul and move it to Kiryas Yoel or somewhere else, he doesn't have to ask anybody, because the people that donated the funds were people that donated it because in his honor. And if Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal was still around today, people gave money for Lakewood. They didn't give so much money for Lakewood. If Rav Aaron Kotler would say, Lakewood is no longer that small little town where I originally built my yeshiva, so it should be away from the masses. Kedai Nahara, the masses have now moved to Lakewood. I want to now take the yeshiva and move it somewhere else. Then he wouldn't have to ask anybody's permission, because they all gave the money on his behalf for him, and therefore he could sell it without anybody's
permission. What about the Yorkshire? Yeah, I was
going to... I mean, whether today's... That's a good question. All of these questions are dealt with, believe it or not, in the poskim, because these are questions that have come up over the years. Anyway, Frank Dimar Meisve, let me ask you a question. You are telling me that a shul which is bikrachim cannot be sold. Meisve, Omer of Yehuda. Meisve basically has to show torsium. Rashi says torsium are tzorfei nechoshes. Nechoshes is copper. Tzorf means people that refine copper. And the Oruch says that the reason why the Gemara tells us that this was a shul of the copper refiners, because anybody that is in that line of work knows that those people are typically covered with a lot of black soot or black earth or whatever from the refinery. And that being the case, people tended not to want to daven next to them. They might have been the nicest people in the world, but you don't want them to rub off on you literally. Their midos should rub off on me, but not the soot on their clothing. So therefore they had to go and build their own shul. And they had their own shul with a torsi, Shabbi Yushalayim. Shemachruha, after 10, 20, 50, 100 years, they decided to go and sell it to Rebbe Lezer. The Asimah called to Rachman, Rebbe Lezer used it for regular, normal purposes, not necessarily for a Kedusha's basic Knesset. Freitimah Bahasin de Krachimab. This was in Yerushalayim. Eim lecha krach gedoy lemizu. It's a krach. And nevertheless, what do we say? That they were able to sell it? Didn't you just tell me a basic Knesset show krachim? It's impossible to go and sell.
What's krachim?
Krachim are cities, large cities. And we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, krachim mukafis choyma. It's such a major city that even has a wall around it. Mm-hmm. Here when the Gemara is talking about krachim is lav zavka, that it has a wall, but the point is a major city, as opposed to a kvar, which is a small town or village.
Like Krakow.
Like Krakow. Oh, beautiful. Hi, I'm getting away, getting us. Yeah, good. V'hosem de krachim ava, where's Shelley when we need him? V'hosem de krachim ava, Yerushalayim is a krach, and nevertheless they were able to sell it. Didn't you tell me a shul of a krach, you cannot go and sell? Everything where he make nishta zuti hava. The Inu of Dua. So now this gets to the point that Brother Shai was making a couple of minutes ago, that in a krach, you could have a Beis Knesset Shel Kfar. you can have a small shtibel in this large, large city of Yerushalayim. And that Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said at the outset, that if the Beis Knesset shel Krachin of large cities, you cannot go and sell it because Rabbim come from all over. That's when you have the great synagogue in Yerushalayim, or another major, major place of worship. But if you took a little shtibel somewhere on Rehov, whatever, that you have 12 people, that you can go and sell without any difficulty. And the Inu of Duan, they were the ones that made it. And it always remained a small little shtibel, because the Torah see him daven there, and this was especially for their profession, people that didn't want to get soot, didn't daven in that shul. We know there's a din of negatzaras. Negatzaras means, in this case, negatzaras on the walls of a house. And if you find a negatzaras, negatzaras means a white blotch on the wall of the house, there are detailed rules and regulations set forth in Parshiyos, Tazria Mitzoira, as well as in the Mishnayos in the Seder Taharis.
But Negoyim,
Mesech Negoyim? Mesech Negoyim is right. And that's a negatzaras. We don't have the time, the patience, or the knowledge. I don't have the knowledge to be able to give you a full shiur now on Hilchos Negatzaras. But suffice it to say, if you have such a negatzaras on the wall of the house, you have a whole process. The first week you come back and see whether it spreads, whether it didn't spread, and then the next week you have to go and cut it out from the wall and just fill it up with brand new bricks. And if it's still spread after that, then you have to destroy the whole house. But the Gemara says that this only applies with base Eretz Achuzaschem. What does that mean? Achuzaschem metami b'negoyim. Houses that belong to individual people, because an achuza means it's a private possession. Such private houses, private possessions, if you find those white blotches, you have all of those rules. However, if you have a house in Yerushalayim, this halacha does not apply. Even though it's a private house in Yerushalayim, the halacha doesn't apply. Why not? We will see in Me'at Hashem in another few lines that this Tana holds that Yerushalayim loy nischalka lishvatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu left Yerushalayim as an international.
David bought it later, right? It wasn't.
I don't know that David bought the whole Yerushalayim.
Didn't he buy it from the Jebusites?
You're talking about from Arab Yevusi. But he only bought a large lot to construct the Beis Hamikdash.
So
he
didn't buy the whole Yerushalayim. So Jerusalem was originally part of the
Jebusites and the Eretz Kanani.
Right. So
and then when the Jews took over. When the Jews took over in the times of Joshua, after 7 years of fighting and Muhammad, then there were 7 years of division of the land among all of the Shvatim. However, says this Tana, Yerushalayim was not subdivided, was not allocated to any of the Shvatim, and therefore belongs to all of the tribes of Klal Yisrael. Anyone and everyone owns part of Yerushalayim. But since, because of that, it never became a private achuza, says the Tana Kama, it's not mitam v'negoyim, because it's got to be bebeis eretz achuzaschem. It's got to be your own private house. This is not my private house. All the houses of Yerushalayim belong to everybody. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. This is the Tana Kama. Om Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda respectfully disagrees. He says, Ani lo shamati ala mokai mikdash bulvad. I only heard about the mokai mikdash there. If there's a negatzaras in one of the walls of the Azara, the Heichal, or something like that, doesn't apply. Hilchos Negoyim don't apply. What's the reason why? Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yerushalayim was nischalka lishvatim, and therefore private houses throughout Yerushalayim have the same din as private houses in Tel Aviv, or in Haifa, or in Bnei Brak, or Beit Shemesh, or wherever. They all belong to a private individual, whoever owns that particular house. Same thing applies to Yerushalayim, but there's an exception for the Mokam HaMikdash. Why is there an exception, says Rashi? Because it says in the Pasuk that if someone discovers a nega, the base, it says in the Pasuk, Uva Asher Loi Habayis, the Higid La Koyin Lamar, Kenega Nira Liba Boyis. So it says, Uva Asher Loi Habayis. It's got to be someone who owns this particular house, who makes a declaration to the Koyin, I found the Nega, please check it out. So it's got to be Asher Loi Habayis, that it belongs to him. However, it's similar in concept to Achuzah. The Mokem HaMikdash is not a Asher Loi Habayis. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Klal Yisrael. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina. And therefore, there is no Asher Loi Habayis. Nobody's the owner of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, what's the distinction between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda? Ariel correctly points out that that is a parallel type of drasha to the Beis Eretz Achuz Aschem. The Nafka Minna is the private houses. The private houses, according to the Tanna Kamma, are not private. The land and the houses of Yerushalayim belong to everybody. So nobody can go and say, it's my Eretz Achuza, and therefore there's no din of Negoim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I disagree. Yerushalayim was Nischalka Lishvatim. No difference than any other chelik of Eretz Yisrael. The only exception to the rule would be the Mokem HaMikdash. That doesn't belong to anybody in particular. It's not a Uva Asher Loi Habayis. And therefore, if you have a Negat Saras, a Mokem HaMikdash, it doesn't apply. That's the end of the Braisa. And now we're Medayik from Rabbi Yehuda. Habati Knesias, Ubati Midrashais, in Yerushalayim, would be Metamin. They would have a din of Tumah. Freik Timara, why would they have a din of Tumah? Amai Hode Krachen Hava. Didn't we say, according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Yonason, that if you have a shul in a krach, this is not considered to be a private shul, this is considered to be the rabbin. So therefore, it's no longer uva asher loy habayis, it belongs not to loy, it belongs to lahem, it belongs to a huge contingent of klal Yisrael spread over all over. And we're talking about, of course, in Yerushalayim, because we're talking about the Mokem Mikdash, and therefore we're saying, but the other batei kasiyas in Yerushalayim, which are part of a krach, he's saying that there would be a din of Tumah. Why would there be a din of Tumah? After all, even if there is no din of the Beis Eretz Achuz Aschem, but we have a din that these belong to Rabbim. If it's to Rabbim, Rabbi Yehuda said, Uva Asher Loi Habayis Vehigid Lakoyin Leymar. This is Nishka Asher Loi. It belongs to the Rabbim all over. Evdimara Eima Om Rabbi Yehuda Ani Loi Shemati Ela Mokim Mekudosh Belvad. Not Mokim Mikdosh. Mekudosh, meaning that every shul and every besmedish in Yerushalayim, since they happen to be shuls in a krach, in this large city, they belong to Rabbim. There are no private individual balabatim. So then, none of them qualify for Auva Asher Loi Habayis. And there's no single individual, there's not even a board of trustees that owns this. It belongs to Rabbim. With this Teretz Mokem HaKodesh, then that deflects the kasha. But let's understand what's the machlokes. So we already spoke it out. And therefore all the private houses belong to everybody. No, it was subdivided, and just like any other part of Eretz Yisrael was given to Dan and to Reuven and to Shimon and to all the other various Shvatim. Here too, the Yerushalayim was subdivided, as we'll see in a moment, to the Shvatim of Binyamin and Yehuda. So therefore, Yom Mischalka, and therefore private house does get a din of Beis Eretz Achuz Aschem, but not in Mokem HaKodesh, not the Beis Mikdash, and not all the shuls. We've looked at Dani tonight. This machloikis is already an alter machloikis that we find in another Braise, in the Sanya. And now we focus on the Beis HaMikdash in particular. Which part of the Beis HaMikdash belonged to Yehuda? The Harabayis, that means all of the surrounding area around the Beis HaMikdash. How the Shochais, the various offices and chambers. Boazores. Rashi's Azores means the Ezras Noshim, the Ezras Yisrael, and the Ezras Kohanim. Those three Azores all were in the Chelik of Yehuda. Umahoyi Bechelke Shol Binyamin, Ulam, the Heichel Ubeis Kodshi HaKadoshim. The Ulam, that's the entranceway going into the Heichel, and then from the Heichel into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Now, if you picture what the Beis HaMikdash looked like in your mind, the center of the Beis HaMikdash, which we did not... Oh, Shkoyach, anybody... you can see this beautiful picture. Thank you very much. In the middle of the Azara, you have the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach was a very, very wide and long Mizbeach. It was 32 by 32, and in front of it, it had an additional ramp of another 30, 62 altogether from one end to the other. When you're entering into the Azara, to get to the Mizbeach, there's 22 amos before you get there. The first 11 are Ezrus Yisrael, the next 11 are Ezrus Kehanim. When you pass the Mizbeach, you have another 22, and those are the 22 Amis, Shebeinu Ulam V'la Mizbeach. What the Gemara is telling us is that if you looked in the Azara, if you're standing right next to the ramp, in front of the ramp, in front of the Mizbeach, to your right, all of that was the Chelik Shel Yehuda. To your left, all of that was the chelik of Binyamin. And what about the Mizbeach itself? Says the Gemara, Ritzua, Hoysi, Yoitz, Michalkosh, Yehuda, there was a strip of land that left the chelik of Yehuda, Vinechnes, Michalkosh, Binyamin, enters into the chelik of Binyamin, Bom, Mizbeach, Bonui, and on that the Mizbeach was built, and therefore the Mizbeach was built on the Ritzua of Yehuda, which finds its way into the chelik shel Binyamin. So there's a somewhat of an overlap, if you will. Toisus goes and brings another Gemara in Masechtas Bachim, where it's matched with the entire Mizbeach was on the chelik of Binyamin, and just part of the Yesoid was not, that was the Yesoid. As you know, the Mizbeach didn't have the Yesoid on all four sides, and the side of Yehuda, in other words, where the Ezus Yisrael ended right before the Mizbeach, there was no Yesoid on that right-hand side on the Mizrach Vant of the Mizbeach, and that's the portion of the Mizbeach where it says that that was Bechelko Shi Yehuda, where there was no Yesoid at all. And Bahoya Binyamin Atzadik Mitzar Aleh B'chol Yoyim Levoila. Binyamin Atzadik was upset that he didn't have a greater portion, either the entire Mizbeach or that Yesoid, that strip next to the Mizbeach. He was upset that it wasn't part of his Chaylik Shedemar. Choyfev Olav Kol HaYoyim Uvein Ksef of Shachin. Choyfev Olav Kol HaYoyim means he's kind of scratching his head all day saying, oy, what a shame, I don't have that part as well as part of my part of the Beis Midrash. And because Binyamin really was upset about it, he became the host of the Shechina, meaning that the major Shechina, as we understand it, was in the Kodesh Kadoshim on top of the Arayin. That's why that portion of the Beis Midrash ultimately went to Binyam. Meaning this Chayful of the Kolyayim, this is, as you know, is at the end of Devarim in the Zayis HaBracha. These are the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when we're saying Chayful of the Kolyayim, he's talking about extolling the virtues of Binyam. Says Agamar, because Binyamin already at that time knew b'nevuah b'ruach hakodesh that he's going to lose that portion in the Azara, and since he was so concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what, I'm going to go and give you the left side of the Ulam and the Azara, meaning I'm going to give you the Kodesh Kadoshim where you'll have the Shechina. Zoktimar, that's the first brisa. So I see from this first brisa that clearly Yerushalayim was allocated and subdivided among the Shvatim, among the two between Binyamin and Yehuda. But there's another Tana, Bahai Tana Sava Loin of Chalki Yerushalayim Neshvatim. This sign it says in the Braisa, Ein Maskir and Batav Yerushalayim, Mem Nesha Ein Shalahem. If you own a house or own a hotel in Yerushalayim, you cannot go and rent it out and go and collect money because the hotel doesn't belong to you. It belongs to everyone. Just like you have the right to live there, I have the right to live there. Rebbe Lezer Oimer Afle Mitos. You can't even go and rent out the beds. Now, the beds, of course, are portable and mobile, so why don't those belong to people? But the point is, you can't have a bed in mid-air. The bed has to be somewhat embedded in the ground. And the ground underneath the bed doesn't belong to the bed owner, it belongs to everybody. So even if you rented out a bed for someone to sleep in, perhaps you can go and charge him some minimal amount for the use of the bed, but he can't go and charge him for the real estate underneath the bed, because that doesn't belong to you.
It's bedrock.
It's bedrock. Ah, very good.
So it's like charging them for, in Shvius for the lulav, and not for the esrog.
Ah, okay, very good. Lefichach, oidus kodshim, bali ushpizin, noitlin oison bizraya. The oidus kodshim, the owners of these inns or hotels, they can go and take the oidus kodshim bizraya, means forcibly. What does that mean? Of Rabbi Shmamino, oirachara, le mishbak inish gulfa umashcha. The custom is, says Abaya, and that's a custom even in many places today, that when you stay somewhere that you go and leave a tip. If you happen to be staying in a hotel, it's customary in many places to go and give a gratuity, a tip for the housekeeper,
the chambermaid,
exactly, the bellhop, all etc., etc., etc. So although you cannot go and charge a person who's staying in your inn in Yerushalayim, for the reason that it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him too. But after all, there is an expense in the upkeep and in the overhead. So that person should understand on his own that he has to go and leave a tip. What is the tip to people that would normally leave? They would leave a gulfa. Rashi is a gulfa is a kankan shul cheres shenishtamish boy. If a person had an earthenware jug that he used, apparently you bought those in the store and you use that for to drink or whatever, and you could theoretically sell it back to the store or whatever. No, you leave it in the room.
5 cent deposit.
5 cent deposit. Or mashcha. A mashcha means that if you went and you shechted any animal, especially for kabanois, and you're talking about kodshim kalim, what happens then the oiris go to the baalim. The baalim should not go and say, okay, well, Baruch Hashem, I'll take it home. I'll make from it a leather bag. No. Leave it there for the ishbezichle. That will be his tip. Some sort of remuneration for allowing him to use the bed and using the room. Anyway, so what do I see from there? That this Tana holds that Yushalayim loynes chalka lishvatim, and that's why everything belongs to everybody. That's the machloek between Tana Kama and Rebbe Yehuda. Nushik, Amar Rava says that we learned in our Mishnah, that when you go and sell any item of Kedusha, you want to after that go and buy with the funds something which has greater Kedusha, that only applies, says Revelation, if it was not sold officially with all of the permission and the authority of the 7 trustees of the city or of that shul, the Mamad Anchiyahir with the consent of all of the members. Ava Machr Shibatui Ir, Mamad Anchiyahir. If this is done with the vote of the Shivatuvir, the people that have the authority, like the 7 trustees, so to speak, for the city or for the shul or whatever, with the consent and acquiescence of the members and all the people there, then it's okay. And not only are you allowed to go and sell it, but it even loses its Kedusha. That at that point, you can go and be koina and use the money to go and buy sheker, beer to go and drink. You would go, wow, you sold the shul, what are you using the money for? I use it for a beer party.
So
you can go into that chapter.
The Mishnah, no?
No, it doesn't contradict. That's what Rav is saying, Loishan, making a limitation on the Mishnah. That, to send the Mishnah, you can only use it to go and buy an Arna Kodesh to buy Svarim and Pocket. That's only if it was sold, not under the auspices of the 7 trustees, the Mamad Anchiyah. But if it was sold by the trustees, together with the acquiescence of the membership, then it's okay, you can use it.
How could it be sold without their acquiescence? It's not a legal sale.
You think things like that have never happened in the past?
It happens.
You know how many lawsuits there are because the trustees sold it and they sold it. You had no right. You didn't have the visit. You didn't ask the membership.
And
the membership sold it without asking the president. The president. There are lawsuits about this all the time.
Years ago, we had the Lower East Side that.
And many, many other places they had up in the country. Every once in a while, you find out about lawsuits about Tintoyers and both. This is like Ravina Havalehu Tila, the Beknishta. Ravina, on his property, he had, as one of his properties, a tel. Tel means a heap. In this connection, a heap means that unfortunately it was a charva. This is an old shul that hadn't been used for years, and never the walls had fallen down, and the roof had fallen in, and he had that on his property. Also, the comment of Ravashi, so now Ravin is asking Ravashi, Omalei Malu Nizra, I would like to go and at least plant in that area where there was the former shul. You still see the remnants of the former shul. Could I go and plant there, Christ, trees or whatever? Omalei says, I have an etza for you. Zil zavni mishiva. Tuvio ir b'mamet anche ir. The Zora, and then you can go and plant it. In other words, go and call a town meeting of all the trustees of the shul or of the city, as well as all the people that are members. Go and get them all together, and if they say, yes, we're selling it to you, Ravina, and it belongs to you, now it's yours, you can do whatever you want with it. You can even go and plant there, whatever.
If it's his own land, what does he need the trustees and whatnot?
Apparently it wasn't on his land, it was amongst his land. In other words, he had a square block, in the middle of the square block. It was the old shul that people used to use for many years. It was abandoned, and it's just an eyesore. Maybe some tourists come every once in a while, and the tour guide tried to charge them the money. But otherwise, it was not used. And therefore, Ravina says, it's there in the middle. I'm planting everywhere else, trees and vegetables and this and that. I'd like to plant there too. And he says, okay, buy it up, and then you can use it. And then you can use it for anything. You don't have to go and make a new shul there. You can use it for anything, as long as you have the acquiescence of the Shivat to be here, the Maman Anchiyah. Rami Bar Abba have a kaboni be knishta. He was building a brand new shul. Habahi knishta atika. There was an old shul. that was already in disuse. Have a boy the mistra. He wanted to go now and be sozer. He wanted to dismantle it. And ulasiye livne ukshuri mina viyuli hasam. It was still in good condition. It's an old shul, but Baruch Hashem, the bricks were still intact and the beams were still intact. And he wanted to go and switch them,
recycle them,
take it from the old shul, use it in the new shul. So, become a boy of Rav Chizda. So he was wondering what would Rav Chizda hold in this case. Rav Chizda said, "Velister beknishta adaboni beknishta achriti. You cannot go and dismantle an old shul until you go and construct the brand new shul." What's the reason for this? As the Gemara says, in a moment, we're worried about Pshia. In other words, people go and say, we're going to go and build a beautiful, magnificent shul. Like Daniel said, it's going to be so beautiful. Everybody's going to come from far and wide to daven. It's up. Marble and beautiful. And up. It's really going to be gorgeous. Okay.
An edifice complex.
Yeah, and then in their minds, they ultimately have a complex. Anyway, the point is that to go and build such a shul is cost a fortune. So they want to go and sell the old shul. We'll sell it, we'll dismantle it, and then we'll take the money, blah, 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 and we'll use it for the new shul. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that. You know why? Because I'm worried about potential pshia. Pshia means negligence. That after they go and dismantle the old shul, you know how much work that took to go and find the broker and to go and sell it and then negotiations and this and that and the other thing. In the meantime, half of the members have moved out to somewhere else. They all moved the chvais to the Hamptons or to Florida. And I'm left with this pekla on my head. And I said, hey, for the last 5 years I've been busy with the old shul, now to be busy with the new shul, forget about it, you know. So as a result, now you have no shul. So said Rav Chizda, you can never go and end the term of an old shul until you build first the new shul, and then go and borrow the funds from the bank, and you'll repay them by going and then dismantling or selling the old shul, etc. So says the Gemara, he wanted to know, Hasam, there the rule of Rav Chizda Mishim Pshiusa. Because obviously we're worried that people will become negligent and they'll be forgetful and they'll say, Chanishka Koyek, and I can't do it, and I'm too busy. Ki I gav namai. Here he's in the middle of constructing the brand new shul. So l'chora I shouldn't have to be concerned about the fact that there'll be a pshia. I've been building it, you see? I have the foundation has already been laid, we already started the building and all of my workers are here. We want to go and dismantle the old one to go and transfer and recycle the beams and the bricks, etc. My, so what's it in? Asla come to the papa. He first came in front of the papa. He also said, no, aloi mitan aleph. You cannot. And then he went in front of Ravuna. On the side, he says, Ravuna bring of Yeshua. The Asla, and he said, no, aloi mitan aleph. The reason why the Gemara changes the gears is because Ravuna was an earlier generation. He was a Talmud of Rav, and our papa is among the last Amayroim, together with Rav and Abaya. So it's unlikely it was the original Ravuna. So that's why he says on the side, Ravuna bring of Yeshua. Anyway, so everybody said, aloi mitan aleph, and he cannot do it.
For a hacker?
I'm sorry, he was shopping for Hattie. Yeah. I don't know why he asked to. Whatever, but everybody agreed. Asanisht.
Maybe the first one said, well, you could go ask for a puna.
Could be. Amar Rabba. Hai beknishta chalufa uzvuna shari ugura umashkaina asa. So now, just going back for a second, if it wasn't for the fact of the pshia factor, you would be able to go and transfer the funds and or the bricks from one shul to the other. So getting back to your question, yes, Barry, and getting back to the question of Daniel, it seems from our Gemara that that is not a major concern about if it's on the same level of Kedusha. If it's a lower form, so others are probably going to go and say, yeah, here it's talking about the Shivatuva here, Muhammad Anshi here, and then Rava said, once that's the case, you can use it even to go and buy Sheikhar. So maybe it's Nishkaraya. But I mean, this is a fertile territory for the Rabbanim, for the Achroinim, to go and discuss what would be the case if it's on the same level of Kedusha. But getting back to our Gemara, Omer Rav, Hai Bei Knishta, you have a shul, Chilufa, to go and be machlefit, in other words, to exchange a new shul for the old shul for the new shul, or is willing to go and sell the new shul to sell the old shul. Shari, that is okay. Either if you're doing a shiva tuva ir, a mamet anshia ir, or you take the money and you're going to use it for a greater kedusha, like we had in the Mishnah, they'll buy an arna kodesh or mitpoches or whatever. A guru mishkuna is aser. However, if you're going to rent out the shul to use for playing bingo or something like that, or you're going to use it as a mashkin on a loan, that would be awesome. Because at the moment, it still has its kedusha. To go and sell it, then If there is Kedusha, it would transfer either to the money or to the new shul. But if you're going to go and lend it, you're going to rent it, where's the Kedusha going to go? And so therefore says the Gemara that you can't do. Livni Nami, the same thing applies to the bricks themselves. Chalofinu uvzuninu, sure, you let it go and go and exchange one brick for another brick. Or sell them and take the money. However, it was a fitted to go and lend the bricks, that would be awesome. Zokti Yumara, Hani Mil Bar Tikta. That's only by an old shul. Abachavat Les Limba. If you're talking about new bricks that were just manufactured, those you're allowed to go and sell, and those you can lend. Why? What's the reason why? Even according to Bani Yoma, that says that once you're making the preparations, that itself instills in it, infuses it with a kedusha. And immediately going to oiving beggar the mace. I will hocha kitovui li orig. Dummy, Velekalamandi Omar. What is he referring to? What happens if a person has tachrichim for a mess? Tachrichim for a mess, you can only use for that mess, you can't go and use it. If you made these tachrichim for Mr. Smith passed away, you can only use it for him, you can't use it for any other purpose. That, you were already oirig begging the mess. What happens if you went and you're now taking the wool from the back of the tzoyin, and you're taking that wool, and now you're making it and spinning it into thread? And what are you going to do with that thread? You're going to use a thread to go and manufacture and to weave the beged for the mess. That's okay. That tovel orig does not get a special din of isra nor for anybody else. It's miyuchet for the mess because it's like koidim to koidim. Yeah, that's so. It's removed, far removed. It's remote from the final beged. So the tovel orig doesn't apply. So even though hazmana milti, this is like hazmana to the hazmana, doesn't apply. So here too. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you for your heroic efforts to keep the minion alive and thriving and surviving. And thank you for shoveling the snow. Yeah, great, great person, Brother Shai. Have a good Shabbos. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So here too, the bricks are not even on the construction site, so to speak. They're not even put into the walls yet. You went to the brick manufacturer, the Home Depot, and you bought bricks. Okay, and you first have to transport them, and then you have to measure them, and you have to go and see where you want to go and put them. And since this is considered to be even before the hazmana, it's hazmana, hazmana. So therefore, you can go and sell them, and lend them, and do whatever you want with them. They don't have any kedusha as yet, and not meyuchad as yet. So what about the matana? What happens if you want to give the shul as a present to someone? We said, or the livni, or the bricks, we said that you can go and sell the shul, and you can go and be machlev it, you can exchange it for another shul, for another binyan. However, you cannot go and rent it, you can't use it a mashkin. So now the question is, can you go and use it for a matana, give it as a present? Plegi barav acha ravina, chad osar v'chad shari, mandi osar v'hai tifka kedushasa. Where's the kedusha going to go? If you're telling me that you're selling the shul, then the kedusha of the shul can go into the money and use the money like we said in our Mishnah. Or if you are machlif, you switch one shul for another building and you're going to make that building into another shul, fine. So you transfer the kedusha to that chayfetz, to that other shul. But over here, if you're going and giving it as a present, so then the value of the shul, you're assuming that the person who's going to take it as a present is going to use it for a warehouse or for residential or for commercial, he's not going to use it for a shul. And that being the case, where did the kedusha go? It can't just go poof. And that's why he says you can't give it away as a present. Where's the kedusha going to go? When that permits it, why are you giving a present to Mr. Smith or Mr. Jones? It must be because in the past he has benefited the shul in many, many ways. Maybe he's given great donations in the past or done something else. If it wasn't for that, no, you wouldn't have given it to him as a present. In other words, that's really the principle of all presents. Most people who have presence of mind don't just give free presents away just stamaza. You give it to someone who has done you a favor, or you want to curry favor with that individual. So that's why you give a present. You don't just stam give a present. So therefore, this present of the shul is like in exchange for some sort of favor that he did in the past. So then it's like a chalipin, or like a mecher. And if that's the case, then this is not a real, you call it a present, it's not really a present, it's just in consideration for past services or past contributions, past donations. So therefore, it's like a sale. Okay, so So that's the end of the Shtickle Gemara. On the surface, oh, I can understand that. Yeah, let's say, this is, by the way, not that uncommon. One second. This is not that uncommon. You could have, for instance, a rabbi that has not been paid a pension for the last, he hasn't been paid for his services for the last 20 years, because the membership used to be 1,000 people, and it's dwindled now to 12 people, so they couldn't afford his salary. So they said, you know what, rabbi, you've been our rabbi for gratis for the last 10 years, the last 20 years. The whole shul belongs to you. Sell it, do whatever you want with it. And that would be, we're giving it to him as a matana, but it's a matana for purse, for past services
rendered.
That's the hanomiyah. So it's like a sale. So logically, it makes a lot of sense. However, it doesn't really answer the question, and that is, where did the Kedusha go? The Kedusha didn't go into the rabbi's hat or into his nose. The Kedusha remains inside the shul. And if you're telling me that the rabbi can go and sell the shul now and do whatever he wants with it and take the money, yeah, but shouldn't that money be imbued with lav dafka that he's going to go? He might just continue living there. He might not sell it at all. We're telling, because we had hanah, it's like a mecher. The case of a mecher, then we have that the Kedusha goes and chal on a mecher on the money or on the chavetz. Here the chayr is nowhere to be chal. Anyway, the Ramban and other mafarshim talk about this at length. Ayin Shum, I think David Fishman had a question.
Going back to the Levenim.
Levenim, yeah.
How is it possible to lend bricks? You give someone a brick, he goes into war. How are you ever going to get it back?
The point that you're making is a good point. It was bothering me too when I was learning. I'm assuming that we're talking about for a temporary structure. A person wants to go and build a sukkah. Most of us, when we build sukkahs, we go and put up, you know, boards and things of that nature. Maybe there were no boards available in that community, but he could borrow some of these bricks, put it there together, even without mortar, or just put a little glue on it, it'll hold for 7-8 days, and then he'll dismantle it and give it back. I would think of that type of situation, a temporary structure. Otherwise, you're right. If you're putting it into a permanent building, it's not a loan. It's obviously a sale or a present. So, if you want to write the Tanur Rabban. Now we're going to talk about the differences between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. And you're saying to yourself, what is a Tashmishei Mitzvah? What's a Tashmishei Kedusha? The Gemara will address. Tanur Rabban. Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrakin. You could theoretically throw them out. Tashmishei Kedusha Nignozin. Those have to go into Geniza. Those have to be buried. So tell me, what's the Tashmishei Mitzvah? Tashmishei Mitzvah, Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, and Tzitzis. If you, for instance, throughout Yontif of Sukkahs, you had your Lulav and Esrig. What do I do with my Lulav and Esrig after Yontif is over? Well, most were after Hashanah Rabbah. What most people do is they leave it in shul. Many people go and take their lulav and esrik home because their wives or somebody else still has a shakal lulav and esrik. But what do I do with it now? Okay, so lulavim, many people leave until Erev Pesach and they go and burn it together with chametz. But not everybody does that. And what does the custodian in the shul do with those lulavim that were left behind? And what do you do with an esrik? You don't go and burn esrogim. So, says the Braisa, you can toss them. You don't have to hold on to them any longer. They no longer are hukdish l'mitzvasai. The mitzvah has already been accomplished. Everybody's shakal lulav and esrog. It's already after yomtiv. You could theoretically just throw it out. It does say in the Mefarshim, it does say in Mishnah Brura, in the Chayes Ramah, that you should go and throw it out, but derech kavod. In other words, don't just go and toss it together with all the meat bones and the leftover gravy or something like that, but you should go and put it separately. So for instance, if you have in your building a place where you put your bag out with garbage in it, don't go and put it into the bag, but separately in the corner, and let the super or janitor understand on his own to go and take those away. So don't...
Or bake it in an etrog pie.
Bake it into an etrog pie. Good. That's correct. What happens if you have some etrog pie left over because not everybody likes etrog pie? So, all to put it into a nice piece of plastic or a nice piece of silver foil and then toss it separately. So, that's permissible. The Eilei Tashmishei Kedusha, however, Tashmishei Kedusha, those have to go and be buried. Now, what's a Tashmishei Kedusha? Teluskimi Svarim Tfilin Umazuzis. V'tik shel Sefer Torah, v'nartik shel Tfilin Urtsuyasei. Teluskimi means boxes or containers. And the same thing applies to tik and nartik, Those are also like tefillin baitul, a tefillin sack or a talis sack and things of that nature. I know talis sack, a talis is not davar shebekedusha, it's a dvar mitzvah. But at least a tefillin zekel that people have when you get bar mitzvahed or when you get married, you have a nice tefillin sack. What do you do with those sacks? Those are called tashmish and kedusha because they are containers for svarim, tefillin, mezuzois, tikshel, sefer Torah. If you have, we're going to talk about the mentla. We talked about it in the Mishnah already. A mentla of the Sefer Torah. Mentla is the cover of it. The Nartik Shel Tefillin, such as a Tefillin Zekel, or it's a Sein, or you put the Ritzuas in. All of these have a status of Tashmishe Kiddusha. Therefore, they all have to be buried.
The Mezuzah case, not the cloth. The Mezuzah case is like a Tik Shel.
Okay, so that's a good question. We're going to talk shortly in the Gemara about Tashmish to Tashmish.
Okay.
Let's wait for that in a moment. Omer Rav, Meirei Shabbat Minah Haikur Saya Tashmish to Tashmishu Vishori Kim the Chazina the Moisei Yalevei Sefer Torah and Minah Tashmish Kedushahu V'Asa. What's a Kursaya? Rashi says a Kursaya means the Bima. Now I Rava thought that the Bima is a Tashmish to Tashmish, meaning that you typically don't put the Sefer Torah on the Bima itself. You put a mantle, or you put some sort of cover on top of the bima. Usually it's nicely embroidered and all the rest. And on top of that, you put the Sefer Torah. Oh, so what was the Tashmish Kedusha? That nice mantle or that nice cover that you put on top of the bima. But the Sefer Torah never touched the bima itself. So I thought that the bima itself is a Tashmish to Tashmish, and therefore there's no din of Geniza. You can now take that bima and use it for your desk. Use it for something else. Kamash Malan, since, Kiva de Chazina, since I saw, says Rabbi, the Moisei Levei Sefer Torah, that at times when they're cleaning that cover to the bima, they took it away. Sometimes they put the Sefer Torah on the bima itself and lean from it itself. A minute, that's why he said that Kedusha will be Aser. Then, in fact, it becomes a Tashmish Kedusha and it's Aser. And that's the reason why whenever you have these portable Sefer Torah and things of that nature, and people are taking it, for instance, into a home of a Shiva, Chulila, or into a hotel and things of that nature, people, if they are in the know not to go and put the Sefer Torah directly on the table.
The talis usually.
You put a talis. Talis, really, what you're doing is you're being Mosef Kedusha. Because then the talis itself, we said before, you could, in theory, be Zorek. You just dispose of it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be Gonez it. However, if that talis is now being used for the Sefer Torah, then it becomes a Tashmish Kedusha, and then you would have to do Kedusha. But at least you don't have to worry about the table or a tablecloth. That becomes a Tashmish Kedusha because of the fact that you put on top of it the talis or whatever you cover with. Now getting to your question. What about the talis zekel? A regular tefillin zekel, in fact, would have the din of Tashmish Kedusha. You'd have to be gones. What about the plastic around the tefillin zekel? That presumably you do not have to because that would be the Tashmish, the Tashmish.
And I was just wondering the mezuzah cases.
So let's go talk about your mezuzah case. So if inside your mezuzah case you have, let's say, most, I wouldn't say all, but many people put around the mezuzahs, they have a piece of paper of some sort, that would be the tashmish, and then the outside plastic might not be the tashmish, that might be a tashmish to tashmish. But he was also going to say shortly that there's another svara, that not everything is a tashmish, there's certain things that you put in for protection and for security, as opposed to enhancing the mitzvah. So why don't we wait till we get to that and then analyze your question? The Yom Rav, first why by the Yom Rav, Mareish Avamina Hai Prisa Tashu to Tashmishu. I thought the Prisa. Now what exactly is a Prisa? Rashi says that's Yiriya Sheparsin Tzvivay Sa'orim Mimafnim. That's an internal curtain in the Arna Kodesh, which is near the Sifrei Torah, of course, and then Arna Kodesh. And besides the doors of the Arna Kodesh, inside the walls, is inside an inner curtain. So I always thought about that inner curtain. The priest, please go on. Ariel, thank you very much for joining us. If you can return, it would even be great.
If you can't,
have a good Shabbos. See you Mitchum Sunday morning. Be well, Zagovich.
Internal curtain.
An eternal curtain. I priest is Tashmish Tashmish. I always thought of being a Tashmish to Tashmish, meaning that presumably the Arn itself is the Tashmish, or maybe the mantle of the Sefer Torah is the Tashmish. This is just an additional ornamental curtain. And therefore I thought, there's no din of being Gones, Kim the Chazin, the Eifile, and Manchi, Sefre, Elabei, I'm in a Tashmish Kedusha. Since I see that sometimes they take that curtain and kind of fold it, and then put the Sefer on top of it, from Rashmi is Mashma, that they put it under the Sefer Torah. In other words, let's say the Sefer Torah, the floor of the Oren is kind of smooth, and maybe things Chas Hashem can slip. So sometimes they take that curtain. Sorry?
It's folded under.
Exactly right. Thank you, Shelley. Shelley explained it very succinctly and very beautifully. They fold the curtain underneath the Sefer Torah to hold it in place. So now it becomes the Tashmi Kedushu, and therefore it's awesome. The Amar Rava, and Rava said, by the way, that's how Rashi learns. The last Toysa says that he thinks it's not talking about an inner curtain, but it's talking about the Paroichus that we have outside of our Aron Kodesh. As you see, the last few words of the last Toysa is, Kach Nir Elisha, Parsa Naisa Sabav Aron Mi Bachutz, not from the inside, but from the outside. How then did they use it to go and fold it under the Sefer Torah? I'm not exactly clear, but apparently you can do that. The Amar Rava. Hai Tevusa Di Irfat. Tevusa is a box. The Irfat says Rashi that began to be niskalkel. The Nifrat Michibur. You see Rashi about 4 or 5 lines higher. The Irfat Orange Niskalkel, Nifrat Michibur. In other words, apparently with age it's already falling apart. So what can you do? Me'ev the Teva Zutrasi. What you can do is use the remaining strong boards of that Sefer Torah to go and build a new, and that's if of an Oren, go and use it to go and build a new Oren. It will be smaller, because those pieces that have rotted away or spoiled and all of that, those you'll be gones. This you'll use for a new Teva. That's shari, that's permissible. Kersaya, if you want to go and use the old pieces of wood from that Aron HaKodesh to make a new bima, that would be awesome, because that would be a Yerida in Kiddush. The Yom Rav, Hai Parisa de Bala, the Mevda Parisa le Sefri, Shari l'chumshin Aser. If you have a Parisa again, Rashi v'shitasa is that Yeria inside the Aron, that curtain there. It's Bala, it's starting to wear out. You want to recycle it to go and use it, Parisa le Sefri. Sifri would be Nach Nevi Meksuvim, like we had in the Amud Aleph. That would be permissible. L'chumshin, to go make it and use it for a chumish, that would be aser. Now, the chumish doesn't mean a chumish like we have today that you put into the bookshelf. Chumish means that you had a Sefer Torah that was split up into 5 separate scrolls. A Bereishis scroll, and a Shmois scroll, and a Vayikra scroll, and so on. So each one of them is called a chumish. That, according to our Gemara, seems to be on a lower madrega than the Sifrei Tanakh, or it could be that Sifrei over here means bona fide Sifrei Torah, as opposed to the Chumashim. So for a Sefer Torah, or for Nach, that would be okay. For Chumashim, that would not be, because the Chumashim don't rise to that same level of Kedushim. The Yom Rava, Hani Zvili de Chumshi, the Kamatri de Sifrei, Tashish Kedushim Ninu, Benignot. The Zvili and the Kamatri are containers. Rashi, the Zvili is like the Teluskimi. We spoke about Teluskimi earlier on. Rashi said it's a sack, a zekel, it's some sort of container. Kamatri is a box that you used either Zvili de Chumshi or Kamatri de Sifrei. Sifrei, again, would presumably be either Sifrei Torah or Nach. Tashi Kedushin, no, they do have them, Tashi Kedushin, but he knows them, and you have to be gones. For Tamar Pshita, it's Tashi Kedushin. Maud is saying, Mahani Lav, the Kovet of Eden. Lituri Baal Mavidi, this is what we spoke about before, Barry, that these are not made for Kovet, these are made just to protect.
Functional.
Functional. And therefore maybe there's no Dinavikiniza, Kamashma. So would he have a box, for instance, the Sifri? Perhaps we're talking about something similar to the Sephardic Sifri title that have a box around it. Today, of course, they make it very, very pretty and very ornamental. So that's certainly the covet of Eden. But what happens if you have a kind of a primitive box that is surrounding the Sefer Torah? So you're doing that, you don't want the Sefer Torah to get ruined, to get spoiled in the rain, this, that, and the other thing. So it's Lituri Ba'alma. So Solkadai Tachemin, it doesn't have a din. Tashmi Kedusha, Kamashla, it does have a din. So the Chayra, you have to ask about these the mezuzah holders, what would be the din? Would that be a Tashmi Kedusha or not? Speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi next to you. Ahu Beknishin Diyudai, a base Knesses of Yidin, Roimoi, that were descended from Rome. In other words, Roman immigrants came to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says specifically they came to Mechoiza. I think that was the town of Rava. Anyway, so that shul of Roman Jews, Tav Pesiach Lahu Idruna. One of the doorways to the shul was open to a side room, and that side room have a machas bein mesrach. One of the slum, there was a mess there. And you can imagine there was a big mess that day.
Right.
Well, can you come down the shul? And the Kahanim wanted to go to shul and they wanted to daven. And they told him there's no mess in the shul, but there's a big mess because the mess is in the side room. So, Asa Omer Le Rava, they told Rava, the Ruv of Mechayzev, Amalhu, he said to them, Dalu Tevusa, go and take the Teva, meaning the Arna Kodesh, Usvua, move it from its regular place, and use that by putting it in front of the door to that other room, and it will be Chotzei Tzvefnei HaTumah. It will be a Chatzitza.
This isn't still a common oil?
One sec, we're not finished yet. So, Frank Diyamara, how would it be Chotzei? The Havali Kli'etza Osel Anachas, the Kli'etza Osel Anachas, Eina Mekabel Tumah. Since normally this Arna Kodesh is never moved, it's a Kli'etza Osel Anachas, and we learn from a fancy pasuk in the middle of a famous pasuk, I should say, in the middle of Vayikra, where it says kol kli, kol eitz, kol sak, and anything else, mechol kli, etc. Yitma. The Gemara learns from the fact that in the same pasuk it says, it talks about a sack, and it talks about kli eitz, that the only kli eitz that is mekabel tumah, if it's not pshuta kli eitz, it has to have a kli kibble, but it's got to be metalta mali berekon. And although this Arna Kodesh is, it has a sefer Torah in it, so it has a clay kibble, but it's not metaltal. You never move the Arna Kodesh, it always remains in one spot. And therefore, it becomes a tumah. And therefore, it's a choytis from the tumah. Put it in front of that doorway to that room. So, Barry asks, aren't they all under the same roof? It must be talking about that other Indruna was in an annex to the shul. It was under the same roof, it was right next to it, and you can go from one to the other. Only Rabban and Rabban. I was in the metaltali bay, kim no anach sefer Torah love, hey! Sometimes they do move this Aroin, and they do have the Sefer Torah. Here the Gemara's Lashon is that the Sefer Torah Ilavei on top of it. Sounds like this is a multi-purpose type of Arna Kodesh that you can also use the top of it as a sort of a bima. But regardless, the point is it is Metal Tum Ali Vareikon, and therefore it is Mekabel Tum. If it's Mekabel Tum, it cannot be Chotzitz Rafnei HaTumah. Says Yimara, Yehachi Lo Yavshe, says Rav, I didn't know that this is moved from time to time with the Sefer Torah in it or on top of it, and therefore it is Metal Tum Ali Vareikon. If that's the case, it's Mekabel Tumah, and it would not be an effective Chatzitza. I have no Eitza for the Kehan. They have to go and daven outside in the courtyard, or they have to go to a different shul. If you have the mepachas, mepachas again is the mentala, that's the cover of the Sefer Torah, shabalu that got worn out, you can go and use it for tachrichel for mes mitzvah. Mes mitzvah means that there's nobody else in town that is working on this mess. No family, no yorshin, no one. Vizuksti shali. And since it's a Tashrish Kedusha, it's supposed to be buried, this is the best way of burying it, that you're Mekayim a mitzvah with it at the same time, you're using it as shrouds for mitzvahs, you can use us. The Yom Rav, Sefer Torah Shabbat, what happens if Sefer Torah that never got worn out, you can't use it anymore for laying, goes the night inside, you can go and bury it, and you can bury it even next to a Talmud Chacham. V'afil Shein Halacha, Shein Halacha, says Rashi, means, even if he's not a great Talmud Chacham, that he knows Gemara, but he only knows Mishnayis, that's also good. Don't just put it directly into the earth. You should go and put it into a container made out of cheres. That's talking about putting documents in the klicheres from the first, basically for the when Yidden will go into Golis, you'll be able to find it when you come back 70 years later. Anyway, the point is put the Sefer Torah in such a protective klicheres so that it does not get all eaten up by the worms or whatever down below in the ground. Omer Papi Mishmeidere, the Rebbe, the Beit Knishta, the Beit Rabbanan, Shari, the Beit Rabbanan, the Beit Knishta. Also, what happens if you want to go and change the character of a shul, either to go and sell it and use the money, and you have a shul and you want to make it into a mismedish for a Rabbanan, not make it into a yeshiva, or the other way around, you have a yeshiva and you want to make it into a miskinesis. So, what is permissible, what's not permissible? So, we have now machlokes between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papi, Mishnah Rav, says in Beit Knishta le Beit Rabbanan Shari, to convert from a shul to a bismedrish, that's permissible. Beit Rabbanan Beit Knishta also, but not from a bismedrish to a shul, because shul is considered to be a lower madrega of kedusha. Rav Papi, Mishnah Rav, says Mas Ibri, says Pung Faket, you'll have to go and take the bismedrish and make it into a shul. Om Rav Acha Kavasi Rav Papi Mestavra. I prefer the first view of Rav Papi. Why? Because Rav Shimon Levi holds like him that you can take a base kinesis and make it into a bismedrish. So therefore you can go and sell a shul for purposes of a bismedrish. Shmami now that we see Taka bismedrish is a higher kedusha because they're learning Torah. That's even more important than Tefillah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sayyid and Shabbos and all the very, very best.